much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So I'm up. I'm ready for an exciting show. I can't wait for the live Kevin and Bean show. So don't let me down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Perseverating. It means you're talking about one subject or one thing for an extended period of time. While you may find it very interesting, other people generally find it annoying.
Okay, emotions are running high right now, and I think it's really important that we avoid using inflammatory language. Words like dumb, words like skank, fatty. Let's just acknowledge that we're here for each other and make this a safe space.
Oh, I get it now. That's funny. But seriously, I hate you and I hope you get hit by a truck.
And now.
The number one rule of caviar etiquette is don't be the person that goes, ew, what's that?
Our feature presentation.
Is that the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills?
That's her real voice that she talks with.
Yeah.
That comes out of her mouth when she opens it.
I wonder if she sounds that way like at home when she's talking to her family or if she just puts it on for the cameras.
I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to believe anyone would want to be in a room with that lady when she talks like that.
That's a sweet, sweet voice. Let's be honest. Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 10th of February.
Come
Why
on,
taps? Why
what?
Are we starting with taps?
Come on, man. You know.
Nope.
I don't.
You follow the news. You pay attention. You're plugged in.
None of the above, sir.
What's going on with Flappy Bird?
Oh, Flappy Bird. Yeah.
Why, what? Did you quit Flappy Bird?
Oh, what?
Flappy Bird, the most popular game in the world right now. And Kevin, I know you love it.
Yeah, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because it defeats him.
Because it kicks my ass and it makes me, it looks so simple. And you only get one life. That's ridiculous. So you have to start over and start over. And it's just frustrating beyond, I want to kill somebody.
What keeps you going? Like, if it's that frustrating, if you lose, you don't get to the level you
right.
hope, what makes you start over again? Why is it so addictive?
I don't,
you know me. I'm not a games guy, so I need your guidance.
I don't know.
On this.
I honestly think it looks like it should be so easy
mm-hmm.
that you go, well, that was ridiculous. I can do this.
Plus, Chip is kicking your butt.
Well, there's that.
So that's bothering him.
Look, I'm terrible at the game. It's just awful.
Chip, come in if you're listening. Please stop in and see, because I want to talk to you about this Flappy Bird too. Well, the reason it's in the news and the reason I'm playing Taps is because it is the most popular game in the world right now. It's been downloaded more than 50 million times. Hi, Chip.
Hello.
And the creator of it, he works at a small Vietnamese gaming company. This isn't one of the big ones. His name is the hilarious Dong Nhung. Dong pulled the plug on Flappy Bird over the weekend. It is no longer available for download.
There's so
much mystery for this. He was making, you guys, $55,000 a day in advertising revenue.
A day? Are you kidding?
A day. He pulled the plug on it. Now, I haven't seen a sit-down, straight-up interview with Mr. Nhung, so we only know what he has said on Twitter. And it sounds like he's having some sort of a mental breakdown
it
over
does.
This.
Well, the first time he tweeted about it, it was like, I can't take this anymore.
Right.
And I thought to myself, F you. I'm the one that's failing.
He said he tweeted on Saturday, I guess it was, I am sorry, Flappy Bird users. 22 hours from now, I will take Flappy Bird down. I cannot take this anymore. So people are asking him questions like somebody suggested, they're wondering if maybe it had anything to do with rumors that Nintendo, I think it's Nintendo that had the Super Mario Brothers, was planning on suing him because it's so much like that game.
Right.
And Nintendo says that they're not suing him, and he said it doesn't have anything to do with legal issues, so that's not what it is. But it seems to be, and he had in another tweet, he said, people, it's because of how people are using my game, they are overusing it. Now, does he think that it's too popular, so he doesn't want people to play it so much? But if that's the case, why invent a game?
Yeah, I don't think a guy would invent a game and then go, I don't want people to use it.
Chip, what do you know? You've been following this. You're a Flappy Birder.
I have no idea. I just know that all I would care about was beating Kevin.
Yeah.
And then I've done that. But now my friends have screen capped theirs and texted me with like 45 and 81. And I'm like, screw you.
Yeah.
81?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But see, here's what I do. This is why I'm so bad. I went to the internet and I put in high score Flappy Bird. photos, images, and then I just like stole them. I just posted them and go, 154, what? And I was literally stuck at like 7.
So people are wondering, is this some sort of stunt? Is this like, you know, lots of people in entertainment retire and then come back, you know? Is he now with all this publicity, is he going to relaunch it in a week and even more people will buy it and it'll make more money? Or does he literally just want to walk away? Or is he worried that there's too much hype, too much buildup, too much pressure for his next game? I mean, I want answers, damn it.
Yeah, they're not out there, though. That's the problem.
What's going on with this guy? Who hits the jackpot, is making 50 grand a day off of this, and then says, too much, take it away?
You know what? I don't like all that pesky money.
It's bugging me. I don't know what to do with it.
So if you've already downloaded Flappy Bird, you can still continue to play it, right?
God damn it.
It's not retroactive. They can't take it away from you if it's on your phone.
Sorry,
right?
Kevin.
I can't delete it. There's something in me that cannot be beat by something so stupid and simple.
Well, no new users apparently available for Flappy Bird. He does have two other games that are available, by the way. I don't know much about them. But
what would he need him for?
Maybe he's hoping that people will, you know, if they hear enough about this, maybe they'll go and download his other games. I don't know. What's your high score, by the way, Chip?
I'm still at 16.
Let me tell you something.
I came right on top, so I just kind of quit while I'm ahead.
Is a hardcore gamer.
Yeah.
Right.
I play Call of Duty. How's it so hard?
And she's great at it, and she's getting her ass kicked. My high score, I'm not joking now, my high score is 8. I think it's 8. Like, and that was a moment of genius. And so for as much as I played it, that's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. I mean, and you said it looks easy, but it's not. And then you just get the one life, so you got to start over from scratch. When you see the 150s online, does it just blow your mind that somebody was able to do that?
No, because I went.
Photoshopped.
It could be Photoshopped, but I went and I looked, and there's ways to cheat it. There's ways to, if you.
There's hacks.
Yeah, there's hacks. And you can turn it off so that it doesn't die. You just have to just keep trying to get through the little hole in the wall. And ding. And so that I went down
His name is Dong, by the way, Kevin. Let's not be disrespectful.
Ding Dong, right. His first name's Ding. And I went to do that, and I was like, this isn't worth it. How much time am I spending trying to, like, now hack Flappy Bird?
The thing that I don't get is if the game is so simple and so basic, aren't there a million other games that are just as satisfying as Flappy Bird?
It's not satisfying!
It's not the same!
It's frustrating beyond words, and I can't explain it. It's like crack.
Look, this is what every gamer wants, you know, is a game that they're addicted to, and it's what every developer wants, is a game that people will feel that way about. Well, we are definitely going to keep our eyes on this story with Dong Yun and find out what happens. But it is definitely one of the mysteries of 2014, that's for sure.
Keep it up, Dong. That's what we're saying. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Great stuff. It's so boring. Don't waste it.
We are going to talk about the Olympic opening ceremonies. Did any of you make it through that?
Not the whole thing.
I fell asleep so soon.
I thought it was like a fever dream. Like I was on Ambien. I don't know what I was on, but I saw things that don't exist in the world.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Impossible to recap, but I'm going to try.
Okay. Well, you're the guy to do it.
Oh, my God. I'm the guy to bring complex stuff to the radio, right?
Right.
We have LaQuisha on the program today.
Fantastic.
Talking about the rich kids of Beverly Hills. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing a thing online called the Gold Zone.
And I watched some of that on Saturday. Let me tell you something about the sis. He's just as good at that as he is at his red zone with football, a sport he knows something about.
That's
He's
impressive.
An unbelievable broadcaster.
Yeah. And we also have Chris Hardwick talking about last night's Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead.
And how much you all now agree with me about Carl.
Dude.
We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Ralph Garman.
Yes.
Yep. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Excellent.
Everything good happened in my weekend.
Yeah?
All things good. We had another sold-out Babylon, thanks to everybody who came out on Friday night. And then on Saturday, it was Daddy Day at my kid's nursery school. So I got to spend the day with her at her nursery school and see what they do there. And we had some amazing times playing at in the rice table.
Sweet.
And making sculptures out of packing peanuts. Oh, Bean would have gone nuts.
Oh, no, not packing peanuts. Those are terrifying.
I couldn't bring myself to be near my child with all the packing peanuts.
That sounds like a dangerous environment for a kid, packing peanuts. You know how they can attack you.
Nope, they're just packing peanuts.
Just sit there.
I think they're terrifying. I didn't even know this. They're made out of cornstarch these days.
They are?
Hmm. Yeah, you can eat them if you want.
What?
Really? If you dip them in a little water, the ends, they start to get gooey, and you can stick them together, and it's like building blocks for kids out of recycled packing peanuts.
Why have I been
peanuts?
Throwing them away all these years?
Because you're an idiot.
Because you're horrible.
And you then, guys haven't been throwing years away?
And then, not me, no. I make statues and things out of them.
He sculpts.
My entire front yard is filled with statuary based on packing peanuts. And then, of course, Sunday, saw the greatest live show in the history of entertainment.
Sunday, the greatest live show in the history of entertainment.
Cirque du Soleil?
No, went down to what's the happening? Nokia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And was rocking out with the Fresh Beat Band. Fresh Beat Band!
Now, what are they, Ralph?
Fresh Beat Band!
That's for kids also?
That's a kid act?
That's, that's a show on Nickelodeon, Nick Jr. Yeah, with the Fab Four of Kiddom. Right. Nicki Marina, Twist and Shout.
Sure.
And they were rocking out some crazy tunes.
I'll bet they were.
As good as the Wiggles?
No, they crushed the Wiggles.
Oh, please.
They crushed them. First of all, they're American, okay? And second of
way
all,
better.
They're the Fresh Beat Band.
All right.
Okay.
That's hard to argue with.
You did have quite a weekend.
It was a spectacular weekend. Very fun. So let's take a look at Monday morning's box office results, as we do. Top 10 movies at the box office, as expected. The Lego Movie came in at number one with $69 million. The Monument Men, in its debut, made $22.7 million. Then Ride Along, Frozen, and That Awkward Moment, rounding out the top five. Lone Survivor, Vampire Academy, The Nut Job, Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit was ninth, and Labor Day was number 10 at the box office. Friday, Philip Seymour Hoffman's funeral was held in Manhattan, and many of his co-stars showed out to show their love and respect. Cate Blanchett was there, Michelle Williams, Amy Adams, Laura Linney, Julianne Moore, Spike Lee, Meryl Streep, Justin Theroux, Joaquin Phoenix, Ethan Hawke. It was an impressive turnout of about 400 or so friends and family to say goodbye to the very talented and tragic story of Philip Seymour Hoffman. Clint Eastwood was a hero last week.
A real-life hero?
Real-life hero. He was at Pebble Beach last week at a PGA event. You know, he's a big golfer, and they had a pro-am event there. He was at a party with the tournament director, Steve John, where they're all chatting there over cocktails, and suddenly Steve John, I guess, started working on a piece of cheese a little bit more than he could handle.
Uh-oh.
Got lodged in his throat, completely closing off his airway. Started to give the international sign for choking. Clint Eastwood came up behind him, threw his arms around him, did the Heimlich maneuver. Lifted him off the ground a couple times. Cheese popped right out. Yay! Steve John lived to play another nine holes.
How about that?
83-year-old Clint Eastwood. Director Steve John said to the press, "I'm 210 pounds. Clint Eastwood lifted me in the air about three times before I popped my cheese out. He's 83 years old.
That's pretty impressive.
He's a tough old bird.
No kidding.
Now, I guess, is it as easy as it looks, Ralph? Because I heard that Clint had never done the Heimlich before, had no training in it. It was just a guess on how it goes from what you've seen in the movies, you think, or what?
He put his fist underneath his rib cage and pushed up, compressing the air in his diaphragm and forced the cheese out of the man's throat. John, by the way, Steve John, who's 50, said it was the second time in his life someone had to perform the Heimlich on him.
Well, baby.
Wow.
Slow down. How about chewing a little bit?
Smaller bite size.
Jeez.
Take it easy.
You gluttonous bastard. Just relax.
Now, why hasn't Kevin poo-pooed this story yet or suggested that Clint Eastwood should have sat there and watched him die because he's a celebrity?
Stupid celebrity saving lives. I hate it.
Did you have a problem with this one, Kevin?
Just let him go,
I don't.
Clint. Just let him
Clint
go.
Clint Eastwood saved someone's life, though. Isn't he doing it for publicity? Didn't he put out a press release? Come on. Where's all the doubting?
Don't you hate him?
I don't know. Did he put out a press release?
No, but you always accuse them of doing it for publicity.
He just did it for the press. That's all I cared about was publicity. And
just let it go.
Just let it go, Clint Eastwood. Let him die. And this is good news. I want to give everybody a heads up because, of course, it is Valentine's Day this Friday. You still have time to get your loved ones something that you they would appreciate. Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom, her second film, Farrah 2, Backdoor and More, will be released this Thursday. So make sure you pick that
sounds
up.
Sounds fantastic.
Make sure you pick that up for your loved ones.
Her second porn.
Her second porn movie. She's all not right. a porn star, though.
No.
She's a mother and an author. That's how she sees herself. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Robert Wagner. Of course, Heart to Heart for many years. He had a great series on in the 60s and 70s called It Takes a Thief. Married to Natalie Wood, famously. And he was number two in the Austin Powers movies, remember?
Sure. Yep.
84 years old today. Writer-director of Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan, is 47 years old. Actress Laura Dern is also 47. Elizabeth Banks celebrates her 40th birthday today. Emma Roberts turns 23. And Chloe Grace Moretz, one of our favorites, is 17. I'm Ralph Oops. Garman.
There we go.
I walk the showbiz beat.
Next hour, we're going to be calling you, a fine Kevin and Bean listener, to give you a trip to Rome, Italy, to see Arcade Fire. It's destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2014. We qualified you each day last week. And then at 9:10 this morning, you can get on board the standby boarding list for destination number two. How about this one? Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend.
At Lollapalooza in Sao Paulo, Brazil. How awesome does that sound?
Awesome.
Yeah.
9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get all the details at KROQ.com.
Here's the headline. Woman sees the face of Jesus in her dirty, messed up toe.
Ew.
This woman took a spill down the stairs, and then they rubbed dirt on it, and poof, Jesus.
And a Silver City couple is calling it a Chimayo miracle after a bat injury. The couple says some holy dirt from the northern New Mexico town has left a holy and healing mark. Just last weekend, Paula Osuna says she fell down the stairs at her home, causing painful bruises all over her foot. Eventually, she asked her fiancé to rub some of the holy Chimayo dirt he had saved. And after putting the holy dirt on her foot, she says the next day, this bruise formed in the shape of Jesus right on her second toe. Paula says the bruise has since changed shape, but she says she's convinced of the holy sighting.
Okay. Look, here my whole thing.
It's since changed.
Hear my whole thing. You can see Jesus if you want to. You could also see a map of Europe if you want to. I mean, you can see whatever you want to in that kind of a bruise on somebody's foot. This woman is obviously, you know, crazy cuckoo religious. That's why she had her boyfriend rub or husband rub the dirt on her foot,
right?
I mean, she is all about, she's obsessed with religion. So no wonder she sees Jesus. That's what she wants to see.
I'm not sure I'm going to take your word for it, though, Bean.
Well, who else can we ask?
Let's dial up Jesus. Can we?
The hotline to heaven.
Please,
okay.
If you don't mind.
All right. Well, if anyone would know, I guess Jesus himself would know because it just seems unlikely to me. I just think she's making stuff up.
Jesus?
Hello, my child.
Hey, Jesus. What's up?
Yeah, Jesus. What's up?
How's it hanging, Lord?
My dad made some big mistakes.
He did.
Well, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. We haven't talked to you in a while. How are things in heaven?
How do you think they are?
I would think heavenly? Fantastic.
Pretty good.
Great.
Thinking.
The woman was right. Heavenly. It's heavenly.
Yeah, I bet.
Now, this woman says that you showed up in a bruise on her toe.
Yeah, I heard.
That happened?
Would she rub some chipotle on there or something?
Some kind of holy dirt.
Yeah.
That they rubbed on the bruise.
Was
that you?
Not so much.
You were
wasn't
in her toe?
You?
No. If I'm going to show up on your measly little planet,
right?
It won't be in the shape of a bruise.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Jesus
well,
is sarcastic.
People are seeing you. Co-signing my decisions. I'm glad. Jesus is glad he has your approval, Kevin.
So Kevin is saying you're right, so you should feel good about that.
Oh, Jesus is right. Thanks. Wow, that's a load off. For a second, I was afraid you might not agree with my opinion, Kevin.
What is it about earthlings that make us see you in guacamole and in tree trunks and in, you know, when we pee on the side of a building? Why is it we see your face everywhere? It's just because we...
Sheer desperation.
Is that what it is?
Okay.
I'm guessing
yeah.
Paula Osuna doesn't have a lot going on in her life.
Well, it doesn't tell us that information.
Trust me on this one.
Yeah, you would know.
You would know.
And so... She hurts her foot. And the next thing you know, she's rubbing dirt on it.
Right.
Which is good advice when you're in sixth grade playing football. Not so much when you're a grown woman falling down a flight of stairs.
It is weird that a 40-year-old woman would say, hey, husband, come over here and rub some dirt on my toe because it hurts.
Let me give everybody a little heads up.
Okay.
Jesus good.
Yes.
God is good.
Right.
So are doctors.
Okay.
Science is good, too.
Okay.
It's not one or the other. I'm just saying go to a goddamn doctor.
Whoa, whoa, whoa with the language about your dad. Come on. Whoa. It just happened.
Hey, we didn't do it.
How about a little shut the hell up from you?
It's just surprised to hear you taking the Lord's name in vain. That's all. I thought that was against the rules in your book.
He's my dad, okay?
Yeah.
I can say whatever I want.
Okay. All right.
You can't do it, but I can do
it. Right. Got it.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
So, just for the record, before we let you go here, Jesus.
Oh, when... no, you're going to let me go?
No, I just mean...
What if I let you go? How about that?
No, please don't. No!
No idea how long I've been waiting to do that.
Coming up in about 50 minutes or so, we'll talk about the opening ceremonies for the Sochi Winter Olympics. How much acid do you have to be on to get the job as the director of the opening ceremonies these days?
I would say all acid.
It seems like all. Yeah. Hey, let's go to the newsroom over there at TMZ with our friend Harvey Levin, the ringleader of that website. How are you, Harvey? How was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. You watch much of the Olympics? You interested in that at all?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I don't know why I'm not into it so much. But I watched the Beatles thing last night, which was awesome.
Ugh.
I didn't like it.
How much of it did you see, Kevin?
None.
I
saw zero.
You didn't like it?
I don't like the Beatles.
She just, yeah.
Beatles are...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
We are not friends
anymore. Okay. Yeah. It's hard to get your head around, I don't like the Beatles. Like, that sentence is like saying, I don't like medicine, right?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that to me.
Oh, please.
Ever.
It's weird.
I'm serious. And I've never heard anybody say that.
Okay, well, I don't.
I am so excited about that show that I didn't want to start watching last night because I knew I didn't have time to watch it all. So today, that's my day, Harvey, is going through the whole thing. I can't wait.
That's what I meant.
Oh, you did not mean that at all.
All right, well, let's talk about a couple things that are popping on the site right now at TMZ.com. You got two new Bieber stories. Both are fascinating because both kind of have to do with crimes that he's been in the news for lately. Just real quick, tell us what you uncovered about that racing going on there in South Florida, that whole 27 miles an hour that was clocked on the GPS of the rental car right before he was arrested. Doesn't tell the whole story, does it, Harvey?
Well, yes and no. He an hour and a half before he went to the nightclub, he was clocked, because we got the earlier GPS reports now, and he was clocked at 136. So he was speeding, clearly speeding. Well, I mean, he was going crazy.
Right.
But here's the problem for the cops. It's irrelevant. They didn't catch him then. They caught him 2 hours later. And the only issue that matters is they said he was drag racing. And, yeah, I mean, right in the middle of the drag race, the GPS clocks him at 27. So even if they wanted to bring up, oh, he had a propensity for speeding because look at the GPS earlier, if they bring up the GPS, they're dead because it shows him going 27 at the time that it really matters.
Ah, we hate to see Bieber get away with anything. All right, so that's thing one.
Well, he may not.
Okay.
Because we found out what the DA, what the Sheriff's Department gave the DA in that Agging case, and I think they nailed him.
All right, tell us about that.
Well, remember, we have a video where you hear Bieber's voice
pretty
clearly. And you hear him say, do you want another one with a couple of expletives? But you don't see him because the video's too dark. So then the issue is, what if they try to weasel out of it and say, well, it wasn't him, it was just somebody that sounded like him. Well, remember they raided his house and they took the video equipment?
Yeah, uh-huh.
We found out that the Sheriff's Department has given the DA surveillance video, and in that video you see Justin Bieber right at the time of the incident, right around that area. They don't actually show him egging, I'm told, but he's right there. So when you combine the fact that there he is and there's his voice, I don't know how he gets out of it.
But there wasn't ever any question that he was home at the time, though. He can still claim he didn't throw it. Just because you know he lives there, right, doesn't mean he threw the eggs.
Okay, so then here's the connection that I'm going to give you.
Please.
There's a lawyer who represents Justin Bieber that represented another very famous guy a long time ago, and everybody said he clearly did it, and ultimately the guy got away with it. And that would be?
O.J. Simpson?
And that would be, the lawyer would be Howard Weitzman, who was the first lawyer representing O.J. Simpson, who now represents Justin Bieber. So,
how about that? Harvey, you need to go back into practicing law in California so you can be the guy to put Bieber away. Wouldn't that be awesome? You would be a national hero if you could get that kid behind bars.
I'm gonna close the doors of TMZ, and I'm going into the courtroom.
All right. Big Two, and I just think this is it's turning into a Fellini film. It's so surreal. Shia LaBeouf. Just every week is doing something more and more insane. But this latest thing, I mean, if he really thinks he's not famous and doesn't want people to look at him or talk to him anymore, how does he show up on a red carpet with a paper bag on his head? How does he do it?
I don't know. I mean, did you hear the interview, though? Because before that, he was doing kind of a junket for this movie that he's got, Nymphomaniac, and he just, I mean, it made, the things he was saying made absolutely no sense. I mean, he was talking about stars and moons and all sorts of things, and then Lee walks out of the news conference, and then he shows up, like you said, with his paper bag. I can't tell what's real anymore with stuff like this. You know, with Joaquin Phoenix, I still don't know if Joaquin Phoenix went crazy or whether it was all an act. So on this one, it's kind of the same thing. I just don't know. He's acting just bizarre.
So it's either a performance piece or we're getting into Amanda Bynes meltdown territory, right?
Yeah, and you know, and speaking of which, by the way, famous people gone a little crazy. Watch that Beatles thing, and Johnny Depp did this thing, who I think is awesome, but he did this kind of intro to one of the packages for the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe it. It's like, what is going on with him?
You can't understand what he's saying, or is this bizarre?
No, it was bizarre. I mean, he was like, it was bizarre. You got to watch it. It was crazy.
The last award show that he came out on, was it the Grammys or the Golden Globes? I don't remember. He came out, and he just looked like a guy who had never been on stage before. He's got something weird going on with him, too. I'm agreeing with you.
Even if you guys hate the Beatles, watch just that segment. It was bizarre.
Harvey, no one hates the Beatles.
No one hates the Beatles.
They're the best band of all time. You can't.
Tell
you
me
can't
what I can and can't hate, Harvey.
You can't hate the Beatles.
Here's the thing. You can't hate the Beatles.
All right. I guess I don't.
Do a poll on TMZ today as a result of the special last night and find out if any of your readers hate the Beatles or if it's Kevin won the rest of the world 7 billion, Harvey. Will you do that for us?
You know what I'll do? I'll do kind of that. I will put a poll up and I will say, I hate the Beatles, and then the option will be no.
TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday on Fox Channel 11 at 4. Original style TMZ airs at 6, and then the new TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight on Fox. TMZ.com for all your entertainment news. Thanks so much, Harvey. Have a great week.
We'll see you guys.
LaQuisha recaps Rich Kids of Beverly Hills next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Chris Hardwick is on talking about The Walking Dead, and our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of The Gold Zone for the Winter Olympics, joins us later on. Speaking of the Olympics, Kevin, Friday night,
yep.
Drop some acid, turn on your TV. How'd that go with you and NBC?
I got to tell you, I love the Olympics.
Yes.
A. B, I love this kind of, you know, when they put together a highlights package that is always so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
But what they try to do with the opening Olympics is say everything that anybody ever wanted to say about Russia. And sometimes it's dead on, and it makes your emotions soar. And sometimes, like Bean said, you feel like, did I doze off? Like, how did we get to point B from point A? This doesn't make any sense. This is what happened Friday night. I don't know if you were able to watch it, but
it begins on the edge of the Western world and expands deep into the Far East.
A lot of long shots of mountains and stuff.
No other land consumes so much of the north, even as its terrain spreads to the subtropics. For centuries, as much as anything else, that immense, intimidating, and incredible reality has stood at the heart of its identity. Russia overwhelms. Russia mystifies. Russia transcends. The empire that ascended to affirm a colossal footprint. The revolution that birthed one of modern history's pivotal experiments.
Pretty sure I'm lost already.
How magical the fusion of sound and movement can be.
Hey, Kevin.
How much a glass of distilled perfection and an overflowing table can matter.
Hey, monkey.
Discover the Russian people through these indelible signatures.
Mr. Writer?
Discover what we share with them through the games that open here.
Dude?
Tonight.
Hey, everybody. Bob Costas here. Welcome.
It almost seems what? Like an oversight that this nation that bears so much winter's burden has never before hosted the winter
games. Can we stop for 1 second?
Now.
Can you hit pause? Yeah. That's famous Russian actor Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones doing the voiceover, right?
Is that who that is?
Yes, that's who that is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, now that you say it. Yeah.
Why would they choose him?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
More?
What's finally arrived is a collection of athletes revolutionizing what the Olympics look like, what they sound like, what they feel like.
And welcome to Russia. I'm Bob Costas. Look at my eye.
More than ever before, snow has become the realm of the young, a place where every tale is tinged with originality. Almost anything goes, then almost anything can happen.
That's the whole 5 hours,
I'm
right?
Lost.
High drama, of course, is also generated out of superior artistry.
Right.
And emotional spectacle.
At some point, don't the athletes have to come in?
Hey, everybody, Bob.
The second chance she almost didn't get. The burst of hope from an 18-year-old who skates like her name is her destiny. Gifts of South Korea's brightest star, returning to prove she's still untouchable.
Long live the queen! Look at my eyes, seriously, Bob Costas here in...
They delight in sharing an enchanting chemistry. Beneath it, though, burns a fierce hunger for greatness.
Maybe he's stalling because Bob's still the doctor. Keep talking,
Peter.
While
for the Russian team, once a dominant winter force, the mandate is clear. Recapture supremacy here at home.
And good evening, everybody. Bob Costas here in Sochi. Welcome to the
Olympics. In this land that fuses west and east across so much of the north, these games have come south to a most distinctive locale where a sea filled with ancient myths crashes into mountains that sweep commandingly into the heavens.
Getting dinner at this point.
And where for these 18 days, winter will not be a burden, but a theater with the curtain raised by their soaring spirit. Revealing once again to the world what
all right,
sport too can be.
That's See, enough, little man. Put it down.
Here's my thing. I feel like they may have tried to bite off more than they can chew.
Right.
I'm not sure that they're...
God in heaven.
And by the way, after he does the 25-minute history of the world, then they come out and they do a four-hour history of Russia, right? Where they go basically year by year for the last 4,000 years.
Yeah, they do that. And then they do the alphabet at one point. I didn't understand what was going on with that.
We are, in fact, one day into competition at these Olympics.
We're already one day in because of the opening ceremony. It lasted a full 24 hours.
And Bob's eye. Oh, my God.
That's sad. That's rough.
It was horrifying.
It was tough to look at, wasn't it?
Bob Costas has pink eye.
And is that what it is officially? Is it pink eye or is
it looks
some
like
other kind
it.
Of infection?
That's what I read, but I don't. It's some kind of a. It's just a gooey mess.
It didn't so stop he has him to wear, from putting the camera on him, though.
Nope.
He has to wear glasses, but one eye is four times bigger than the other
That's
eye.
Correct.
It's the most distracting thing.
That
but look,
so
if,
gross.
If you're NBC and you hate that this is happening, but Bob comes to you a day before you go on the air, you can't replace Bob Costas. He's your guy. He's your anchor.
Yeah, but you don't have to put the camera on him.
Or well,
maybe
of course
take a
you do.
Full face, maybe, like just one side.
Maybe take a longer shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, really, we don't need any close-ups of Bob Costas' gross pink eye.
I was so afraid that he was going to get my Maria Sharapova sick. If he gave her that, I was going to hunt him down and beat him.
It's super contagious.
Yeah, that was my fear. Yeah. Don't be around my Maria.
Maria looked good.
She did.
Yeah.
You know what didn't look good? Bob Costas' eye.
That was ugly.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on The Kevin and Bean Show. This time for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, I was talking earlier about the fact that I went to see the Fresh Beat Band yesterday with my almost four-year-old daughter now. And everyone crazy. I had no idea. There's so many Fresh Beat Band fans out there demanding a little love for the Fresh Beat Band. Who am I to say no? Hit it, Steve.
No, that's not the Fresh Beat Band. They're terrible, Ralph.
That's not the Fresh Beat Band. No,
that's the wrong one.
No.
Pray it loud, just like a rock star.
Yeah.
Shout it out, just like a rock star. Come on, everybody, let me hear you say, you feel just like a rock star. Hey, hey.
Wow. Now, Ralph, I have to ask, because there's the two categories of children's entertainment, the ones that the parents suffer through and the ones that the parents find themselves enjoying. In what category does this band go?
This is an absolutely enjoying situation.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
The music is in many cases, better than anything you'll hear on Kiss. And it's a very energetic. I mean, they dance and they sing. The kids are very talented, and it's a very. I watched the show with my daughter. That's where she got addicted to it, on Nickelodeon. And then the live show, they worked their ass off yesterday. I was really impressed. They were all over the place, and everybody had a good time. But a lot of people saying, "Oh yeah, Fresh Beat Band, woo!" And not to mention,
no one saying that.
Nikki and Marina are smoking hot. The two female members of the band.
So, oh, there's a little something for Daddy.
That helps. That helps Dad too. While away the hours with the Fresh Beat Band. It is Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Lego Movie, number one as expected in its debut, $69 million. The Monument Men was number two with $22.7 million. Then Ride Along Frozen and That Awkward Moment. Lone Survivor was fifth. Vampire Academy was seventh. Then The Nut Job, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, and Labor Day rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Boy, as hateable as Justin Bieber is, Shia LaBeouf is just working overtime to be an asshole.
He really seems to be.
Jeez, the crackers. He just won't give it a rest. You know, famously, he was plagiarizing all these. First of all, this comic book that he turned into a short film. Then he was plagiarizing the apologies he made for plagiarizing. And then he said, oh, I'm not famous anymore, and everybody's picking on me. I'm going to go eat some worms and hold my breath. So his film, Nymphomaniac, the new film he's got out, debuted at the Berlin Film Festival, and so he walked out of the press conference after saying, when the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. And then he got up and walked out.
Is he the seagull?
He thinks the press, I guess.
The press or seagulls? I think he made an excellent point, Ralph.
Following the trawlers because the sardines will be thrown into the sea.
Who's the sardine?
I guess him. Okay. Or something he says will be.
Maybe he's the trawler.
Yeah. The important part is that quote was from a soccer star named Eric Cantona, who made the famous line at a press conference in 1995. Then Shia LaBeouf showed up on the red carpet of the festival wearing a paper bag over his head with the words, I am not famous anymore, written on the bag.
Wow.
Hey, you're not Daft Punk, all right? Give it a rest.
Not even the unknown comic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just stay home. If you don't want to participate, you don't play the reindeer games, just stay the F home.
Yeah. You think he's just messing around?
Just like, let me draw more attention.
Yeah.
No, he's just losing it. Just a pain in the ass.
But he wasn't a pain in the ass for so long, it didn't seem like.
You don't know.
Publicly.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It, assholery will out. It just eventually will leak through the cracks, and you can't hide it for so long. Just if you don't want to be there and you don't want to be famous or whatever, then just don't go to the Berlin.
I wonder if he was contractually obligated to appear at that red carpet, because it seems like he had been trying to pull back the past few weeks, and then this premiere happened, and I wonder if he had to go.
I don't know. Nobody has to do anything. There's people in place. There's machinery in place to get everybody out of all this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I'm sure if he didn't want to participate, there was a way he could have not participated.
I like what he's doing.
I'm sure you do.
I'm a fan of it.
Speaking of look at me, did you see any of the tribute to the Beatles last night?
No.
The Grammy... The Night That Changed America. Great special, by the way. Amazing performances. Dave Grohl was terrific. And Joe Walsh, man, he can still shred on guitar. And Alicia Keys and John Legend did a beautiful duet of Let It Be. But every time they cut to the crowd, Yoko Ono was making it all about her somehow.
Oh, I'm sure.
She was up out of her seat. She was, like, doing all this, like, weirdo dancing, and like she was like literally in the aisles at some point, like swinging around. Like, she could not have been more look at me with her giant top hat than she was last night. And I said to my wife, damn, the other Beatles must just hate having to get together for these things because you got to deal with her crazy ass every time you do something.
And meanwhile, but, Olivia Harrison is just lovely and normal.
Couldn't
and
be
right.
more classy a lady.
Right.
Couldn't be more classy. So it was just hilarious to watch Yoko Ono be a lunatic.
Was she dancing funny like she was at the Grammys? Like crazy weird?
Yeah, all kinds of crazy weird all over the place. Just swinging her arms in the air like she was on acid and she was trying to swat an invisible dragonfly. It was just annoying on every level.
Ralph, I know you've been busy. We had Harvey on earlier in the hour, and he brought up the Beatles special that he enjoyed so much. And Kevin, once again, publicly stated that he hates the Beatles, just for the record.
I hate the Beatles.
That's still happening, just so you know.
Let's let it go.
Dave Grohl said a great thing last night on the special. He said, Beatles were my mother's favorite band, and as I came up to appreciate music, the Beatles became my favorite band, and now they're my daughter's favorite band. So he said, it's an honor to be here playing their music, and then he launched into this just killer version of Hey Bulldog. It was an awesome, awesome moment last night. So maybe they'll rerun it or you pick it up on DVD or something. But anyway, good special. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Wagner turns 84 years old today. Famous TV actor Vince Gilligan, creator, writer, and director from Breaking Bad, 47 years old. Laura Dern, also 47. Elizabeth Banks is 40. Emma Roberts, 23 years old. And actress Chloe Grace Moretz turns 17. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LaQuisha with the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. Later this hour, Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead just after the top of the hour, and about an hour from right now. First, though, this is very exciting. You know, we started this K-Rock World Tour for 2014. Destination number one we qualified you for all last week was to go see Arcade Fire in Rome, Italy. Kevin, I understand you have the paperwork. We're going to announce the winner of that prize.
Eudonia Utokia Menopoulos. I'm pretty sure that's it.
What's the winner's name, though? Now that you've cleared your throat, what's the winner's name?
First name is Eudoria. Last name is Menopoulos. I really don't know.
Have we tried calling him or her?
I don't know.
Or do we just say the name of the lady?
Answer? I think we're just saying the name.
Okay.
Why? You want to call him and find out what the hell's going on?
Well, there's no way that person's name is what you said. I know that's true. Well, congratulations, person. You're going to Rome, the one in Italy, to see Arcade Fire. And we roll into destination number two of the K-Rock World Tour 2014. And this time it's Lollapalooza in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to see Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend.
You can get all the details about how you can get on the standby boarding list at krock.com. And we'll give you a chance to call in and do just that at 9:10 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of weird and unbelievable names, I don't know if you were paying attention last week when Ralph did the story of the teen mom who named her kid, I believe it was Kaiser Permanente.
I think, I'm not sure about the Permanente part. I think she had the baby at Kaiser Permanente, he said, and she decided to name the child after the hospital, and the kid's name is Kaiser. Now, this is one of the teen moms that Dr. Drew knocked up, right?
Dr. Drew does not knock them up.
Well, I think,
he just doesn't.
I think you're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, because I'm pretty sure that's how that show works.
No.
So he gets girls pregnant and then puts them on TV and shows everybody what it's like for them to raise a kid without Dr. Drew in their lives.
It's not the case.
So but she named her kid Kaiser.
A kid, yes,
named
Kaiser.
Kaiser.
Yes.
Yes.
That seems bad.
Now, this is another in a long list of people who name their kids after things, whether it be the city where you were born, like Paris.
Yeah.
Or the city where you were conceived, by the way, which I think is where... Where Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris, was named that because she was conceived in Paris. No word on who the father was, but somehow she was conceived in Paris.
Or where the test tube was.
Yeah, they would have named her Beaker. Apple.
Apple's a good example.
I mean, look, parents, what are you doing?
That's not even creative.
Don't do that. But don't name your kid something dumb.
But hear my whole thing.
Just think about it for a second. Don't name your kid Kaiser.
Every single name that you know and accept, Kevin, was a new name at some point.
Right.
Apple is not an unusual name now. It was at the time that what's-his-face from Coldplay.
Chris Martin.
and Gwyneth Paltrow had the kid, Apple. Now it's out there. It's a name that other people now use, and it's accepted. But, and in 25 years, Apple will be just like Mary or Jose. It'll just be a name that people have.
It will.
You are wrong,
it'll be
sir.
A weird
it will.
Blip.
It'll still be Apple. It'll go away, and people will go, what was wrong with those parents?
I don't think so. I don't. I think that all names are new at one point, but I do think that parents are going out of their way to have the only kid in the world named after a thing sometimes. And we thought it would be interesting. And I'll give you some other examples of people who have named their kids after things here in a moment. We thought it'd be interesting to talk to some of our Kevin Amin listeners who were named after a thing. You're not named after a person. You're named after a place, or you're named after a thing. What's that like for you? Do you like having a name like that? Or is it a pain in the ass that you constantly have to explain to people? What's it like living with a name like that? Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We do want to talk to you here today. Let me give you a couple of other examples of people who named their babies after things or places, okay?
All right.
Arthur Ashe, tennis legend, has a daughter named Camera.
Camera.
Is Camera, is that a name?
It is now, Bean, and it's just going to become part of the language, and everybody's going to get used to it.
Model Christie Brinkley has a kid named Sailor. That's a girl, too, by the way. Named Sailor.
Hey, Sailor.
Is that legit? Is that a name?
No.
Bob Geldof, of course, from Boomtown Rats, the Live Aid guy. He famously has a daughter named Peaches. How about Peaches, named after a vegetable? How about that?
Peaches is kind of cute.
Is it?
Rachel Griffiths, the actress, has a son named Banjo. Now, is that just looking around the room and first thing you see, I'm going to name my kid? Is that what that is?
What kind of conversations being had between the parents there?
Banjo.
I like banjos. All right, let's go with that.
Again, we're going to take your calls. If you were named after a place or a thing, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Alicia Keys, she, of course, is with Swizz Beatz. They have a son together named Egypt. After country, obviously. Where does this fall into the category? A little baby you may have heard of, Kevin, named Northwest. How's that for being named after a thing? She's named after a direction.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even very specific. It's just over there somewhere. I don't know. I don't know why people do that. Because Little North, I mean, are they going to call her North?
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I don't know what do you call Northwest for short? I don't know. Singer John Mellencamp, the Pink House's small town guy. He has a model wife, and they have a bunch of kids. They have HUD and Speck are their names.
HUD and Speck.
Terrible.
What's Speck named after? He also has another daughter with a different woman named Justice.
See, are celebrities worse at this than regular people? Because it seems like they are under a lot of pressure to make their kid have an interesting
name. I feel like
name.
We hear about the celebrities possible. Because they're famous, and we don't hear about regular people, I think. Let me see. Before we go to the phones, let's see if there's any other good ones on here. Well, don't get me started on Frank Zappa's kids, because those are just made-up names. There's no such thing as a Moon Unit or a Dweezil, so let's just leave them off the list. All right, named after a place or a thing at 1-800-520-1067. Let's squeeze in a couple before the break real quick, and let's start with number three. Line three, please. This is our friend Volvo, who joins us on the Kevin Amin Show.
No, that's not true.
Your name is Volvo?
Yeah, my name is Volvo.
No.
Do you have a sister named Volva?
No. I have a sister named Mercedes, not Volvo.
Tell us about being Volvo. What's that deal?
So annoying, man. Like, okay, I'm 17 right now.
Right.
So my girl, she calls me Mr. V, and I have a teacher named Viva Blanco. So, like, he likes to make fun of my name all the time. And not just that, but my dad gave me his 1982 Volvo. So,
dude, I would have burned it immediately. Volvo driving a Volvo.
Is that the car you were conceived in?
Yes.
Oh, dude.
I'm trying to sell it.
I bet you are.
Dude, you should be trying to steam clean it is what you should be trying to do. All right, so do you remember, walk me through this. How old were you when you realized that you were named after the car you were made in?
I was 13, and my friend kind of told me, he's like, dude, you know that you were named after your dad's Volvo? I'm like, how would you know that? It's like, because it just makes sense.
And then you asked your dad, and he said, yeah?
Well, I asked my dad, and he tried to, like, walk around the question.
Really?
About that. Now, do you ask, are you one of those kids who dislikes his name so much that you ask your friends to call you something else or use a middle name maybe?
I mean, my middle name is pretty retarded, so
what's your
like
middle name?
Don't laugh.
Can't promise. What's your middle name?
It's Turbo.
Turbo.
No,
yeah.
It's not.
That is not the case.
It,
you're,
it
having
my,
you're having a laugh.
You're having a laugh.
I need you to send us
it's
your license.
Volvo Turbo Hernandez. That's my full name.
Your parents hated you.
You have to be a race car driver for a living. Or you have to get some sort of a Volvo commercial endorsement deal. Like, they should start putting you in their ads. Their parents love their car so much they named their kid Volvo. There's money in your in this for your family.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I just hate my name.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's a terrible
All
name.
Right, Volvo. Glad you called, sir. Thanks so much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What were you named after? Not a person. We want to hear places and things. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. We're talking about honked up baby names. This teen mom, one of them. I can't keep them all straight. Dr. Drew impregnates so many girls.
He does not impregnate any of them. Zero.
Right. Named the kid Kaiser after the hospital, I think, where she was born. We started talking about people who name their kids after things and places. Listen to some of these, then we're going to go back to your phone calls and get to Dakota first on line four. Dear Kevin and Bean, I work at a hospital, and one of the nurses tried and failed to stop an 18-year-old from naming her daughter Chlamydia. She thought it was pretty and could not be talked out of it. Poor kid.
Wow.
Chlamydia doesn't seem like a name you want, right?
Even without the STD.
My brother, born in the 60s, says Ken, is named Penal. P-N-L. It's the abbreviation of peace and love. It was popular at the time. Thank God I came along 15 years later and got a normal name. This kid's name is Penal, and it's spelled P-N-L.
That's just the dumbest thing ever.
Why?
And finally, Thomas writes in, Kevin and Bean, hi, in college I had a girlfriend named Corvette. I wonder if Corvette knows Volvo that we just talked to. Her sisters were named Chevelle and Chevette, says Tom. So that's a great example of being named probably after the place where you were conceived, right?
These are way worse than we thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Let's talk to our friend Dakota and find out what that's all about, if there's any relation to the actual states. Hi, Dakota. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Where does your name Dakota, where does it come from?
Well, my name is Dakota because my mom is Native American. But my sister's names are also Indiana and Montana.
So you're Dakota. Your sisters are Indiana and Montana.
Yeah.
Why stop there? There are so many other great state names out there waiting to be claimed.
I think my dad kind of got tired of it once, you know, all the jokes came in.
Now, seriously, is it tough being named Dakota, particularly now that there are famous women named Dakota? Does that make it harder for you?
The worst part is definitely the north or south joke.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Hey, north or south? Like you've never heard that.
The amount of times I've been asked that is...
Of course.
But the girl, Dakota Fanning's also tough, too.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I would imagine. All right. Hey, do you use the name or do you go by something else?
No, I use the name. I just kind of get over it.
Just tired of hearing about it.
All right, Dakota. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to line two, please, and talk to Downey. Downey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. Hey, we're doing good. I would not have expected a guy that sounds like this to be named Downey.
Whoa, I apologize.
What's all right? What's going on? What's it all about?
Expecting a guy at all.
Is Downey about the city?
To be honest with you, my dad changed it when I was born. My mom wanted to name me Ryan, and he just said Downey. I have no idea where it came from, but he stuck with it, and that's where I am. It sucked growing up in elementary school, but it's cool now.
Do you think it was, I mean, were you Southern California? Could it have been the city or could it have been the fabric softener?
It smelled like the fabric softener. Yeah, I was born in Garden Grove. Born and raised.
Wow.
Huh. Why is it cool now?
Just when I was in elementary school and that Snuggles the Bear came out, man, it killed me. Hey, Snuggles? Yeah, it sucked.
See, future parents, please pay attention to this guy.
Yeah, that's tough.
It makes kid's life miserable.
Downey, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's go down to line seven. Let's discuss whether it's worth continuing to live with this name or if you should just end your life now. Caller, what is your name, please?
My name's Raider.
Yeah! As in the Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders football team?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Raider. Tell us about it.
Well... I'm pretty sure it is that for the football team. I was adopted, but I don't go into the whole story with everybody I meet. So I'm just like, yeah, it's after the football team. They're like, oh, that sucks.
Do you know if it was your birth parents that gave you that name or the people who adopted you?
It was the birth parents. And my parents were going to, my adopted parents were going to change.
Yeah,
it,
why wouldn't they?
I guess because I was already 1 year old and they didn't want to try to, you know, get used to another name.
Right. And what's it been like for you? I mean, obviously you run into lots of people who love the Raiders who probably think it's awesome, but just as many people who hate the Raiders and think it sucks, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like all the Raider fans at work, they already said as soon as I met them, I'm their best friend.
Sure.
And then I have people that, and then if I'm somewhere and they're like, okay, what's your name? And I say Raiders, they'll say, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Are you a football fan at all, Raider?
Not really.
No. That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Nice work, parents. Good work.
What if your name was Asshor?
Man, that Chris Hardwick does a great job on the Talking Dead show, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
So good at that. And we'll talk to him about the return of season 4, I guess, of Walking Dead last night in about 20 minutes or so. Andrew Siciliano talks Winter Olympics on the way as well. But first, let's go to LaQuisha. She's on the phone with us right now. Hi, LaQuisha. How are you? How was your weekend, my dear?
It was fine till last night.
Last night, a theme.
It was the one thing we asked you to do for us out of the entire weekend, as we said, give us 30 minutes and watch The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills for us.
Okay, well, you do something all weekend long, and then the last thing I ask you to do is hit yourself in the testicles with a ball peen hammer. And you say, oh, that's okay. No, that's fine. It was a great weekend.
So you
Shut
still
up,
love
Pete.
The show?
I tell you, these people are the most despicable people on the planet. This show should be on the Asshole Network.
I don't think that exists.
Well, I'm starting one. And I'm putting this show on it. They're all in Cabo. You may remember from the last episode. They're all in Cabo celebrating the anniversary, the first year dating anniversary of Morgan, Big Nose, Big Boobs, and then uglier Chris Martin Comeover is her boyfriend.
That's
and
right.
And they're in Cabo, and everybody's all they invite. She invites all her friends to come celebrate a very romantic weekend in Cabo, San Lucas, with her boyfriend. Things do not go well. And they're in the clubs dancing. And here's the thing. They have two gay friends who are with them. And here's the thing, I have nothing against gay people. I got a good friend of mine who's gay. But for some reason, you get them in a dance club and just take the leash off, because forget about it. They're going to outperform everybody at the dance club. And Johnny, one of their friends, is just like that.
Honestly, I dance a lot with my neck. And, like, my chiropractor knows that because, like, he's always like, what's wrong with your neck? And I'm like, girl, I don't know. And then I get into a club and I'm like...
He's all like, I realized as I listened to this show that the women on the show who are obnoxious, like Dorothy Wang and Morgan Stewart, they are women who talk exactly like gay men.
Oh, interesting.
That's the phenomenon going on here. Is the other, and they're like, and I'm like, girl, and they're all you. And no one's the worst offender than E.J. Johnson. Now, E.J. is the son of Magic Johnson. How proud he must be. Because EJ, he is a large man. He is as fat as his dad is tall.
Wow.
And he also liked to be out on the dance floor.
There's really no question about who's the best dancer, because it's obviously me. End of story, point blank period. Thank you, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So
that happened.
They decide, Morgan decides for the anniversary, she's going to surprise uglier Chris Martin Comeover with an experience, because he likes to do things. She likes to buy things. He likes to do things. So they go to the concierge at the resort where they're staying and say, what can we get for an event? And so they talk to this lovely young lady who seems to be of Mexican descent, and English is not her first language. And she talks about the fact that they have a yacht that's available. Y-A-C-H-T. Of course, pronounced yacht in English, but she mispronounces it. Now, these girls, of all people, are going to make fun of the way somebody talks?
Oh, no.
For something that is really private and very luxurious, I have a yacht that is 120-foot large.
Was she saying yacht?
I thought she was speaking Hebrew for a minute.
No, it was so weird, and she kept on singing at the same time, and finally I was like, oh, you mean the yacht.
Yeah.
Yachita.
Yachtsy.
Yacht.
Okay, they're in Mexico. Let's remember that they're there, and the woman is kind enough to speak to these girls in their own language, right?
Right. That's my point, and they're going to make wow. fun of the way somebody talks?
Yeah.
Now, Dorothy Wang, she gets very upset because the yacht is only 120 feet long. And she has an issue with yachts of a certain size.
Not anything bigger. I get seasick under, like, anything under 150.
You will not feel anything.
It's fine. It's really big.
She gets seasick under anything under 150 feet in yachts.
Well, of course she does. I mean, that's slumming it, LaQuisha. You can't go out on something like that small.
Now, before they get on the yacht, they got to get primped and ready. And so EJ and Johnny, the two gay guys, are very happy to have some gay bonding time away from the straight people. And it's just a mutual gay admiration society.
What happened to us last night?
There's no one getting down like
Thank
us.
Thank God you came, because I literally can't be around straight people for that long.
Of course. I'm the same way.
You're fantastic. You're amazing.
Thank you.
You're sexy.
Yeah, like, I keep it real. Bad bitch. I know.
I feel like you need your own talk show.
You know, that's like my end goal.
They say you do it.
I will. I want to be the next Oprah. Like, I'm working on it.
Bet you're working hard on it, too.
EJ wants to be the next Oprah. And he looks like he ate three Oprahs. So he may be three times the woman that Oprah is.
That might be the best TV clip I've ever heard.
It is magical. Now, EJ has his own take on the yacht that they're going out on. Because he has some experience when it comes to vacationing on yachts.
My family and I yacht every summer in the south of France and Italy. The yacht Morgan booked was nice. A little smaller than I'm used to, but very nice.
Are you over how rich these people are yet, LaQuisha?
I can't even focus on the money. I'm so busy vomiting from the personalities. It's like when you got the stomach flu and your head's in the toilet. Anything else can be going on around you, but all you're preoccupied in is, oh, God, here it comes again.
Yep.
Magic Johnson must be mortified by this son. It has nothing to do with him being gay. It has everything to him be doing obnoxious.
Yeah.
Well, they're jumping off the top of the yacht, you know, like you do when you're celebrating on your yacht.
Sure.
And even that has its drawbacks. The girls were not happy about the experience of jumping off the top of the yacht into the beautiful water on Cabo San Lucas.
You just have to accept that if you're going to jump off the top of the boat, you're going to get the worst wedgie of your life. Your bathing suit bottom becomes your tampon very quickly.
Yep.
Okay.
Charming young ladies. Charming young ladies.
That's beautiful.
They all go out to eat, and then the check comes, and it turns out that I think 7 years ago, two of the girls had a fight about a check at the same restaurant, and it brings back memories, and they start fighting again about a check that came to their table 7 years ago, and I was hard to follow. I was just happy because they all turned on each other.
Shut the up, both of you. It's our anniversary. I'm happy you guys have figured it out. You're both ass. We're done. I was an ass. And I am sorry about it. You both handled it incorrectly. That's
how?
The moral of
what
the story.
What did I do, Morgan?
The point is,
what did I do wrong?
The point is, we're moving on from it right now. We're moving. It's our anniversary. I want you to stop talking.
You know, as Morgan is screaming at us at the top of her lungs, like veins popping out of her neck and forehead.
Shut up!
Morgan was kind of turning into the Hulk.
All I wanted to do was hand them all weapons. That's all I kept thinking. Somebody pick up a knife. Somebody pick up a table knife. Start slashing at people. Well, there was a lot of crying and a lot of drunken, obnoxious girls going, and then one was crying so hard that the one she was fighting with ended up having to console her, but she still wouldn't stop crying in the limousine on the way back to the resort, and the only way they could stop her crying was to talk about her giant diamond hoop earrings.
I don't.
We had sun today, so you look good with all these tears on your face because it's giving you a little dewy feel. I'm telling you right now.
You do have a dewy feel. Yeah. We're fine.
You're good.
Come on.
Your hoops look good. I'm telling you.
They're diamonds.
You are.
Yeah.
Wait.
You can only stop crying long enough to say, oh, I like your earrings. Your hoops look good. And she goes, they're diamonds.
God.
This is not real.
This is real. And this why you...
You're so happy.
They...
You're welcome.
We love you too. Talk to you next Monday.
I just wanted to
hold. Strong clapping.
Thank you.
Strong.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7:56, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Why aren't bands just hiring you to put the clapping right on the records? Why do you always have to add them after the fact,
They
Ralph?
Can't afford me.
Oh, that's what it is.
I'm the most expensive session clapper in the music business.
Clappist.
Well, look, I don't see you getting paid to clap, so maybe you should leave it to the professionals.
Oh, my bad.
Chris Hardwick hosted The Talking Dead on AMC, which airs Sunday nights right after The Walking Dead. No coincidence there. Joins us right after the top of the hour to talk about last night's return of the show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
I just did Chris's podcast, The Nerdist.
How was it?
Boy, did we have a good time.
Excellent.
I'm not sure when it drops. Maybe Chris can let us know. But, boy, I had a really good time. He and his one of his co-hosts, Jonah Ray, joined us, and we just laughed.
They do an excellent job.
They really do. It's a great, great group of people, and a great time was had by all. So it's a pleasure. And I think we're doing a Smodcast panel on at midnight, Chris's show on Comedy Central in March. It's going to be me and Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are going to be the panelists on the show. So
I like it.
Look forward to doing that in March. Good times. Today, of course, it is Fresh Beat Band Day. Everyone's just going crazy for the hot tunes of the Fresh Beat Band.
What?
I saw them live yesterday at the Nokia.
But it was
in LA Live. And it was just a tremendous show. They were dancing. They had the loco legs. Everybody was going bananas.
But it was
all the hits.
But it was for your 4-year-old.
Well, she wanted to tag along, but I went. I went for Kiki and Marina and Shout and Twist, the Fantastic Four that are the Fresh Beat Band. Give me a little Fresh Beat Band.
If you're feeling kind of stuck and you just can't make it,
you need a fresh new plan, but you
just can't make it.
Well, don't give up,
don't you quit.
Come on, let loose to a bananas beat, yeah.
Na 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 na, let's go bananas. Na 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 na, let's go bananas. We just got to go bananas. Na 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 na, let's go bananas.
Zero for effort. Zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
Who's got two thumbs that was going bananas in the aisles yesterday? This guy!
Ralph, I knew you had to go because you have a little kid, but why are the rest of us talking about the Fresh Beat Band? Why do we care?
They are the hottest. Remember what happened 50 years ago?
Don't you mean Beatles and Ed Sullivan?
A little foursome named the Beatles broke onto the American music scene and changed the world.
Right.
Well, when I say Fresh Beat Band, you just think Beatles. That's all. And you'll look back on this day and go, oh, my God, I remember when we were covering the explosion of the Fresh Beat Band. And you'll realize that you're part of music history.
I don't see that happen.
Well, that's nearsightedness on your part.
All right.
Or farsightedness, whatever.
Whatever's wrong.
One isn't good. Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie, number one as expected, $69 million. The Monuments Men was number two. Then Ride Along Frozen and That Awkward Moment. Lone Survivor, easy for you to say. Vampire Academy was seventh and eighth. The Nut Job, Jack Ryan, and Labor Day rounding out your top 10 at the box office. We got a new Batman project in the works. It had been talked about for some time. They're doing a show called Gotham on the CW. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I think this is Fox. Either way, new series called Gotham, which is going to be like a prequel to Batman. It's going to show you a young James Gordon before he became police commissioner.
Okay.
And how the rise of all these villains started to happen in Gotham City before Batman came on the scene. And they just announced who will be playing young James Gordon. It's Ben McKenzie from Southland.
All right.
He'll play young Detective James Gordon in the crime-riddled city that is Gotham City. And then I believe they're going to have like a young Bruce Wayne, who at this point has been orphaned and is being raised by his butler, Alfred. And they're going to show how it's like Smallville, basically, for Batman. How everything kind of rose up before Bruce Wayne put on the cowl and cape. But if they do it right, I think it could be an entertaining series. I know that Smallville was a great show. So I'm looking forward to this one. And poor Michael Jackson.
Now what? Couldn't get any worse for him. He's dead.
That's what you thought, right? But you think once you're dead, at least your tax troubles go away, right?
I would hope so.
No. Los Angeles Times says his estate owes more than $700 million in back taxes.
What?
How can that be? He didn't have any money.
Yeah, we thought he was broke when he died.
They claim Michael said his estate was worth $7 million when he died, but the tax man says it's more like $1.12 billion.
How can they be that far off?
I have no idea. Apparently, Michael claimed in his last go-around with the tax man that his share of Sony ATV Publishing, which, by the way, owns the Beatles song catalog, was worth nothing.
Okay.
Maybe that was the red flag. Maybe that's what caught the IRS's eyes. Oh, so all the Beatles songs that you own a piece of, Michael, that's worth nothing. Oh, okay. Well, fair enough. In fact, it's actually worth more than $470 million. So that was tacked on to his estate. So now IRS is coming knocking.
Isn't the first rule of cheating on your taxes is don't lie too big?
Right. Don't make any obvious lies.
Right.
I think claiming the Beatles music is worth nothing may have been a,
a tactical error.
Yeah, may have caught the attention of the tax man. Today's celebrity.
Tax man being one of those songs, right?
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Yes. What's more, Fresh Beat fan?
Nope.
No. Okay. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Wagner's 84 years old today. Writer-director Vince Gilligan, who gave us Breaking Bad, 47, as is Laura Dern. Elizabeth Banks is 40 years old. A lot of people cranky that Bean's not ringing the bell for Elizabeth Banks, by
well,
the way.
You guys tell me. I take a lot of abuse if I guess wrong. What do you think? I find her attractive, but I thought...
I think so. She's hot.
I would think
so.
Let's do it. All right. Let's do it. I'm in.
All right. Like your enthusiasm.
Well, that was my choice, was to give her a bell, but I just figured I'd just be beaten down for picking the wrong person.
Well, I like that that's your...
Oh, be brave, Bean. Yeah, just do it.
Be bold, man. Plant your feet. Take a stand. Emma Roberts is 23 years old today. What are you doing? What are you, an idiot? That is stupid. And Chloe Grace Moretz turned 17 years old today. That's the creepiest thing in the world. Just being sitting, you know, he's got one of those bicycle bells in his hand. He just keeps ringing it back and forth. He's just staring at the ice cream truck in the schoolyard. It's just
not using my hand.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our next guest is a popular stand-up comedian. He is a best-selling author. He is the host of one of the biggest podcasts in the world. And he's got, I don't know, like 25 shows on my TV. Talk about Revenge of the Nerdist, as one headline writer put it. Chris Hardwick joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hey, Chris.
Gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. A pleasure, sir. By the way, before we talk Walking Dead and Talking Dead on AMC, let me just tell you, this At Midnight show is killing me because I feel like it can't be real. Like, the guests that you have on the show are so quick and so funny that I feel like you're actually, it's some sort of a trick. Like, you're stopping taping, letting them think about their funny answers, and then roll tape again.
We have a time device, and so we freeze time, like in the show Out of This World, for anyone who's older than 30. And then they work on it, and then we put time back, and then that's how we do the show. So
it's just intimidating, though, because your guests are so quick. I mean, you throw something up there, and the sense of it is that they haven't seen it before, yet they have to come up with something off the top of their head, just ad-libbed, and it's just amazing the quality, night after night, of the guests that you bring in there.
Well, you know, we talk about, since we shoot the show the day that it airs, we talk about whatever's kind of trending that day. So, you know, they have an idea what we're talking about on the show because it's the whatever was everyone was talking about that day.
Right.
So, you know, and we just get really funny people. It's all my favorite comics who happen to be my friends, and we've got some pretty insane, like, we're having an all UC Upright Citizens Brigade show. We've got a show with just like the funniest, quickest people you could imagine. So
yeah, it's, I mean, and you do a great job hosting it, and I just love that it's a game show where you just randomly decide to give people points, and you, it's like, just somebody, like, just put points on the board however many they want to. I mean, there's never been a game show with fewer rules than yours.
It's, I kind of am drunk on power about it. I really can decide who gets points. Now what happens is when I'm walking out in public, people just point at me and they go, points!
Well, At Midnight airs on Comedy Central at midnight, and it's a great show, and you should definitely be checking it out. I mean, it's the fastest half hour on TV. And, of course, you came back last night with Talking Dead right after The Walking Dead, and you seemed very sincere as you were talking about how much you had missed the show, both shows, yours and theirs.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I get bummed out at the end of, you know, like when we took the mid-season finale break, and that last episode was rough. So,
yep.
You know, I was kind of hoping to get back. Not like I thought the show would come back and then it would all of a sudden be like a sitcom, But I really do miss the show because I have all the episodes that I could watch, and I don't. I watch them the day that they air. So it's for me, it's like, come on, I need my fix. So
let's give a spoiler alert if you didn't watch
definitely
last night's Walking Dead, and then I will take all of your apologies now. Kill Carl, who's with me.
Yeah, Carl. That was scary.
Chris, that was a lot of Carl last night.
He was great. Come on, you know, this is exactly what would happen in this type of situation because, you know, like a young teenage kid would already be kind of mouthy with their parents anyway because they're all full of hormones and they're growing up and they're trying to test boundaries. So you put that on top of the fact that the kid cannot rely on his dad because, you know, Rick hasn't really been a leader for like a season and almost a season and a half.
Right.
So, you know, it's like you combine all those things and then you have this kid who's like, well, he just doesn't respect his dad. He's lost all of his family.
Right. So dad should put him down. Right. Or at least the three walkers that tackled him should freaking bite him.
Like a pit bull. You think they should just like,
yes.
he's attacked too many people.
I want to see Michonne at the beginning of the next episode just push your spear right through the door into his head. Is
well,
that going to happen?
First of all, it's a katana.
Oh.
It's a very specific type of a blade.
Okay.
You know, it's so funny, Chris, because when, and again, spoiler alert from last night's Walking Dead, when Carl was giving the list of people off the top of his head that have died on his father's watch, you do kind of have to agree with him. Look, Rick's been doing the best job he can under extraordinary circumstances. He's had a whole bucket of fail, though, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's had a ton of fail. He went crazy for a while. He's lost everyone. We still don't know what happened to Judith, the baby. Like, he's just gone completely crazy. But fortunately, last night, a lot of the episode was saved by the fact that Carl found 112 ounces of pudding, which was delightful. And we got pudding to trend last night for like
awesome,
like 6 hours.
I wanted to talk about that because I fast forwarded through the commercials, and you know how you can go a little too far into the segment before you realize that you're still fast forwarding.
I did the same thing,
and it stopped. And out of the blue, there is Chris Hardwick feeding Herschel's severed head chocolate pudding, and I was like, "What is happening?"
That's one of the strangest things that has ever happened on any TV show ever. You know that, Chris? Like, why hasn't somebody already made a GIF of that on the internet today?
I don't know. Hopefully, Reddit will not let us down, and it'll be on there somewhere. But yeah, Greg Nicotero brought Herschel's head from the beginning of the episode. Michonne finds it and, you know, like puts it out of its misery, and it looks amazing. I mean, even like I was an inch from it just staring, and it looks like a guy's head. It's unbelievable.
And you can watch him controlling it and you still sort of freak out that it's
real. You still
real.
Jump back. Yeah.
I was putting pudding in its mouth and he was controlling it and it was like it was grinding the pudding in its mouth.
Yeah, that was
really amazing.
Strangely disturbing.
I know that there's a certain suspension of disbelief when you watch a show like The Walking Dead, but could anyone, even a teenage boy, sit down and eat 112 ounces of pudding by himself? Didn't that stretch the imagination a little bit?
Nope.
I
could eat it.
That's a lot of pudding.
I haven't eaten that much pudding.
You're going to be in the bathroom if you haven't been eating any dairy
well,
for a
maybe,
while.
But
come on.
You're not thinking about that when the zombies are attacking. You're thinking
you
about...
You should be. You can't be holding up your pants.
And by the way, it's going to come out exactly the same.
Yeah, right.
You know what I was thinking about, and this is the voice of our friend Chris Hardwick, host of At Midnight on Comedy Central and now The Talking Dead on AMC after Walking Dead's Sunday night. You know what I was thinking about? When they were going through that house last night and Carl walked into that kid, you know, that kid who used to live there's room, you just got a sense of the normalcy that those people must miss every single day. I mean, just to be able to sleep in a bed, and of course there's no electricity, but to be able to watch TV, you know, to see that room with the TV and the DVDs and the posters all the wall, and it was just so normal, and none of that exists anymore. I bet that just felt like heaven just to be in there for a minute.
Well, just to stare, like for me, it's like watching him stare at the Xbox.
Yeah.
And go, oh, yeah, there was a time where you could just flick an Xbox on and just play a game, and then that's over. Like, never. And even Rick says in the episode, like, things are just never going to be the same. It's never, he said, I thought things were going to be the way they could be the way they were, but they will never be the same again. And it's true. It's the world's completely changed.
And I know that Robert Kirkman has just made the decision to focus on what we see on The Walking Dead. But somewhere, if this had really happened, wouldn't there be smart people who would be getting together and figuring out how to make cars run again and how to get the power grid up? I mean, wouldn't we be rebuilding at some point this far down the road after whatever cataclysmic event happened?
This is why I say it is always important to befriend a nerd, because you never know when there's going to be an apocalypse.
That's true.
Someone's going to have to pillage a Radio Shack and, you know, like,
that's true.
You know, build a robot or build a communication device.
And then who's in charge?
Then who's the president of vaginas?
Exactly.
Then it's the nerd. Right.
One more thing, Chris, because we're kind of giving a little bit of a short shrift to Michonne, who had a great story arc last night. I mean, that's a terrific actress, too.
And yes,
she almost had a little bit of a mental breakdown, but then I think her humanity kind of shone through at the end. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, she did. She essentially, after everything, I mean, her katana was used to kill Herschel. And so she was the last person to leave the prison. She's completely broken. She's lost everything. She basically just had decided, I'm going to go back to this prison. I'm going to give up my quest for the governor. I'm going to let everything. I'm going to start to relax now. And then it immediately goes up into flames, and she loses everyone. So she does. She kind of goes into default mode. She basically creates the pets. Because what we know about the walkers is that if you take away their ability to eat, they essentially just become docile.
Right.
So she took her pets, and she just basically was living like a zombie. She was living like a walker until she kind of sees what looks like a doppelganger for her, and it's kind of like a mirror. That's her mirror. And so she, what Danai in the episode on our show last night said, she chooses life. And that's what brings her. I don't know why anyone would choose life in that situation, but she does. And
is she too far gone to choose death for Carl?
You've been on this kick for a long time.
I've been on this kick from the beginning, and I'll take all of your apologies now after last night's episode. Who didn't want to kill Carl?
Carl is never going to be killed, Kevin.
You don't love Carl. You love pudding.
He's John Connor, man. He's the John Connor of this world.
John Connor's a dick.
All right, listen.
He was a dick in T2. Yes, he was a dick in T2.
We are out of time. Monday through Thursdays at midnight on Comedy Central. See our friend Chris Hardwick hosting the At Midnight Show, by the way. And you can also be in the audience if you want to see it live and in person. Go to cc.com/at midnight for more information on that. And, of course, The Talking Dead airs Sunday nights right after The Walking Dead on AMC. Chris, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show for the first time in 2014, man. Thanks for the time.
Gentlemen, hashtag pudding. Thank you.
So I'm watching our friend Andrew Siciliano on Saturday a little bit. You know, he does the Red Zone on DirecTV for football, where he watches all the games and talks about what's going on within the 20-yard line
right.
for multiple games at a time. So he's doing the same thing for the Olympics, for the NBC Olympics. It's at Gold Zone, right? And he's talking about this guy who's named after German underwear, and he's got this luger on from Tonga, and it's like a whole different language, and he's amazing at it. I couldn't believe what a broadcaster he is. And we're going to talk to Andrew coming up here in a couple minutes about the Gold Zone and find out how he's now an expert on curling. But speaking of the Olympics, Kevin, we were talking about the opening ceremonies earlier.
Yeah.
You did not mention anywhere in the coverage that you did of the opening ceremonies the big viral video of the weekend, which is all the Russian police officers singing Get Lucky.
It wasn't there.
I don't remember that.
That wasn't from the opening ceremonies?
I saw it on the MTV site, and it said Russian police sing Get Lucky in the opening ceremony. So I went back and I watched the opening ceremony all the way through looking for it. Not there. It's not on the NBC
cover. I didn't see it
either.
I just figured I missed it. I didn't see it either. Christine, I know you were into this video. Tell me what you know about it.
Well, it got released on Friday is when I saw it first.
Yeah, like all the other things that were sort of like ahead of time, because the opening ceremony wasn't until that night. So it was like during the day.
Right.
And which is when the opening ceremonies happened, though. Remember, they happened at 11 o'clock in the morning, our time. So
right.
We saw a lot of coverage of the ceremonies before NBC aired it on tape delay that night. But where did the Russian police come from?
It was not on the broadcast.
It wasn't
I watched
on the
that
broadcast.
Whole thing too.
Okay, so I thought, and then I watched the entire broadcast again, and I thought, this tone-wise is a complete miss with the opening ceremonies.
Because they were using all classical music, Stravinsky and stuff
yes.
like that. It wasn't like the Vancouver Olympics where they had a bunch of pop stars coming out singing hit songs.
And then we're expected to believe the Russian police are getting all wacky and singing Get Lucky?
I don't know, they did a whole thing on like Tolstoy, you know?
Right. It's got five million views, this video.
So, and Christine, you saw before we did. What do you? Where do you think it came from, though? Do you think these aren't even Russians? This is just somebody having a laugh or what?
I mean, it looks so real to me. And it was just one of those things where, you know, you're at like your cousin's wedding, you have that one uncle that gets up there and just thinks he has all the moves.
Right, but
what this was. It was like a whole group of them, but it was so serious because the entire choir in the background, they had, like, they took their job very seriously.
Too much.
Right.
I think this is a fake.
Really?
I do. I think it's a fake.
And no.
You don't think it had anything to do with the Olympics at all?
I don't. The tone was completely different. Mm-hmm. They're not wacky.
Russians
aren't wacky.
Not.
They're not going to get up there.
Put to death
they're going to have.
Wacky.
They're going to have their police sing "Get Lucky." Yeah. No way.
I agree.
Here's the kind of music they were actually singing during the opening ceremonies of the Olympics.
Right.
Remember they had a choir that came out, all these Russian dudes, and they were singing this. I guess this is the Russian state anthem or something like that. This isn't Get Lucky. This is,
no.
I mean, that's not the same country, right? So did somebody just, like maybe not even in Russia, just make this video and then just put it out there onto the internet the same day as the opening ceremonies to get traction on it?
I can't find any information on it that supports that. But I did look, and everything that I could find says it's real.
Well,
it's a goddamn mystery
is what it is. Yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
You don't think it could have just been the editing?
It could have been, but again, like they weren't in that stadium,
right?
The video, I don't know. It just strikes me as fake.
Let me throw this out. Because Christine brings up a great point. Associate producer Christine in studio with us. She brings up a great point because NBC did edit the opening ceremonies from what really happened in Russia. For instance, they took out some of the IOC president's comments on diversity, which is a very bizarre choice for NBC to edit that out for the U.S. broadcast. But they wouldn't have edited out something that would be
right.
A crowd pleaser like that. Something that would be a hit English language song would be something that they would be praying for in the opening ceremonies to get away from all the Russian.
Not a part of it at all.
All right. Well, it's another mystery. We'll just have to keep our ears peeled for it, and we will talk more Olympics with our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of The Gold Zone, right after this on K-Rock. All right, we're talking about the opening ceremonies, talking about the Russians singing Get Lucky. What we weren't talking about was all the medals being awarded. I think the U.S. is in second or third place right now, but let's go to our friend Andrew Siciliano, who's the host of The Gold Zone on NBC, who's having a crash course in Winter Olympic sports. Andrew, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, am I to believe that you guys don't believe that these Russian policemen actually sang this? I'm watching the video right now.
I know, but
we saw the video.
It wasn't on the opening ceremony.
Our question is, why would NBC cut that out? Why would they cut out a smash American hit song? I know they're French, but you know what I mean. A song that was a huge hit in America from the opening ceremonies. That seems like the type of thing they'd love to have in the broadcast.
So you're alleging a Daft Punk Russian cop conspiracy.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
I don't have any information other than it wasn't on the NBC broadcast, and it seems to be counterintuitive that they wouldn't go ahead and just put that in because that would be so much better than that little girl's telling us the Russian alphabet, for God's sakes.
I mean, listen,
they're not in the stadium?
I am not a NBC spokesman. I cannot speak.
Get to the bottom of it, sis.
But as far as I understand, it was actually performed in Fish Stadium in beautiful Sochi, where it was today 61 degrees.
Wow, that's perfect for Winter Olympics.
Is it really 61?
At one point, it got to 61 today. In comparison, here in lovely Stamford, Connecticut, at the NBC compound, woke up to 3 fresh inches of snow and 19 degrees.
They should be having the Winter Olympics where you are.
Could, actually. I'm having a snowball fight outside now.
Before we move on, I just want to ask the Kevin Amin listeners, because I know a lot of people who are really into these Olympics watch the ceremonies live online. You can see the BBC 2 feed. There's a bunch of places you could see them before they even got to NBC. If you watch the ceremony live, I want somebody to call and let us know if you saw the Russians singing Get Lucky during the ceremonies as they actually happen. Now, let's talk about your weekend, Andrew. How difficult was it for you to switch headspace from the NFL to things like curling?
No, we have 15 days to do it. We just did our third show. I tweeted, I believe, Friday, 2,873 names, 15 sports, 7 unique disciplines within those sports. I learned curling on the fly, so to speak, this morning.
It's like you're cramming for a final every 5 minutes, right?
Every single night in the hotel and every single morning live on the air. But I'll say this, it is a blast. It's like to go from curling to biathlon to women's. At one point today, we had curling, biathlon, women's hockey, and luge all on one screen. And then we got rid of that, got rid of the four screen, and then went to downhill moguls qualifying, freestyle.
Amazing.
All at once.
I was so impressed, and you and I exchanged tweets on Saturday. I was watching you Saturday on NBC Gold Zone, and I was so impressed with how good you were at it. And I know you're a professional broadcaster, and I know you've got the kind of mind that's able to concentrate on a bunch of things at once. But, I mean, unfamiliar names, unfamiliar sports, unfamiliar everything, and you look like a pro doing it. It blew my mind, Andrew. I'm sincere about that.
You're far too kind, first of all. Second of all, remember how whenever I come on during the football season, I go out of my way to praise the amazing crew we have at DirecTV that
yes.
does everything, and they give me all the names and this and that. I can look at any football game and pretty much know every name, number, face, and jersey. We've been doing that for 10 years now at
right.
DirecTV, and we're all football fans.
Yeah, you understand the game as well.
Right. Well, sure, but the crew here, I cannot thank them enough because, I mean, they are putting it on a tee for me, and all I'm doing is swinging. I mean, I honestly can watch someone go down the Senke sliding center track and luge and tell you the score and the time, but I can't give it the perspective. I can't tell you that no American has ever won a medal in women's singles luge. I didn't know that before.
Well, we need to get on that then.
I mean, And you know what? Summer Britcher right now, 19 years old from outside York, Pennsylvania, is about to take her second run. Did you know that women's singles luge has four runs spread out over 2 days?
Nope.
And it's cumulative at the end. I didn't know that either until this morning.
Andrew, there was a lot made about the condition of the slopestyle course. Of course, Sean White, you know, pulled out a couple of days before the thing even began. What's it been like? What's it been like in terms of the competition so far? Has it been as dangerous as some feared, or has it been okay?
No, it hasn't. It's been fine, actually. And two Americans won, so Team USA swept the men's and the women's first time at the slopestyle. There you go, buddy.
USA!
Red, white, and blue. First time slopestyle has been in. Team USA won. On both sides, Jamie Anderson on the women's side and Sage Kostenberg on the men's side. But the issue now is the half pipe. So Sean White had never done slopestyle. Nobody had it. He wasn't favored. He pulled out of that because he said it was dangerous. He wanted to focus on half pipe, where he is the 2-time defending champion. He's trying to go for 3. No American has won the same event 3 Olympics in a row in the Winter Games. He and Shawnee Davis are both trying to do that.
USA!
There you go.
USA!
But now they're saying that all the halfpipe guys are complaining that the course is, in their words, garbage.
Uh-oh, like, garbage.
Like, unplayable garbage. They were supposed to have training this morning on the halfpipe. They shut it down. They're trying to fix the halfpipe and make it workable. So some of these guys may have very little, if any, chance to actually test the thing out before they go out.
Is that
I believe that's on Wednesday.
Do you think that's because it's so warm?
I don't know. I can't answer that. What they're saying is there's too much debris. That was their term. Now, my Yahoo has a good story on it right now if you want to check it out. Danny Davis, who's pretty much a pretty well-respected voice when it comes to the snowboarding world. He's not Sean White, but
right.
he's Danny Davis. He said that he's the one that used the word garbage,
wow.
actually. Those are his words, not mine. So it's just not smooth enough on the base, on the bottom, and that these guys aren't getting enough speed when they're you know, looping back up top.
I feel like this entire Olympics is being held together by duct tape.
It might be. Well, hold on. You guys saw Johnny Quinn, right? The bobsledder
yes.
who busted out of the bathroom door.
I did totally not.
Totally
went
yes. Kool-Aid Man. All right, so check out. It went viral. Johnny Quinn was stuck in a bathroom. He's a bobsledder. He was in a couple of training camps, the Vikings and the Packers. He's a big dude, former football player. He got stuck in the bathroom a couple of days ago and busted through the door to get out. He had no cell phone, and he literally went Kool-Aid Man through the door.
USA!
Well, about an hour and a half ago, he tweeted a photo and said, "You're not going to believe this. I am locked in an elevator." The elevator got stuck, and he says he cannot go Kool-Aid Man through the elevator. So
should he just quit? Shouldn't a guy like that just quit? I mean, seriously.
He's locked in an elevator.
That is unbelievable. And, Kevin, you have to see this photo of Johnny Quinn's bathroom door because Andrew's not exaggerating. He went through it. He smashed through the door. Thank God it must not have been solid. It must have just been like
a cardboard door.
Yeah, it's plywood. Yeah.
It's not even. I mean, cardboard.
It was unbelievable. He had to bust out of a door. It was crazy. Now he's stuck in an elevator. Is he going to be okay, Andrew?
I have no idea. You should come out though and go, oh, yeah.
An endorsement deal.
All right. Hey, listen, we got to go. We're almost out of time. Two quick things, though. First of all, how much figure skating have you been watching? Are you starting to appreciate it?
Oh, I've always appreciated it. You know, it's what the Winter Olympics is about. I mean,
yeah, that Russian girl last night was unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. And how about Putin showing up in a tracksuit?
Yes, hilarious.
I didn't see that.
Hey, I'm just happy he's got his shirt on for a change.
I want to see all world leaders summit in tracksuits.
All right, and last thing, Andrew, it's amazing. This is the first time they've ever had anything like the Gold Zone for the Olympics. Again, it's at NBCOlympics.com. What hours are you on doing it?
Okay, so we are on 8 hours every day, and much like the Red Zone, if it's live, we're going to it. We'll throw four things on one screen and go as fast as we can. I am on, it's bad for the West Coast, I am on 7 to 11 Eastern, so really early back there.
Okay. All right.
So you guys can get up and watch. You're on your way to work.
That's true.
And at work. And then Ryan Burr, my partner, who is from the Golf Channel, he does the next 4 hours, which are more reasonable for West Coast viewers. He does 11 to 3 Eastern.
That's quite a snub, Andrew.
That's NBC
Olympics. 9 hour time difference over there, buddy.
.com. You're doing a terrific job, man. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Bean Show today. We enjoyed talking to you.
Love you guys. Bye.
All right. Mystery solved, you guys, on the Russian police choir singing Get Lucky. They
fake.
Did do it.
It's fake. That's the fake.
They did do it on Friday. They did do it at Olympic Stadium.
Nope.
They did it in the warm-up before the Olympic opening ceremonies began.
Nope.
So it was there. It was
fake.
It was. Hey, Kevin had a legitimate right to ask some of those questions because it's circulating on the internet as if it happened at the opening ceremonies, yet it wasn't on the broadcast. That's very confusing, Ralph.
They cut a lot out of the broadcast. NBC
how
cut
does
a lot out of the broadcast.
What could they possibly have cut out? It was 4 hours of the freaking alphabet.
A lot of the speeches.
Holy
and a lot
crap.
Of the other stuff that was going on. So it was all TV
my theory
magic.
Is that they wouldn't cut this out because this is ratings gold, singing a huge hit like Get Lucky. But anyway, what happened was it happened before the opening ceremony. And that's where the video was shot. And they're on the Today Show this morning, recreating the magic for NBC viewers who didn't get to see it the first time around. So everything's fine.
Nope, it's fake.
And everything's Jake.
It is fake. Ralph
is here.
Fake.
Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I love how your brain works, Kevin, where you leap from one thing just to, like, the most outlandish answer on the other side.
I didn't say I knew. I didn't say I knew. I just said I'm not buying it. Why would they cut it out? I didn't get it. So what happened beforehand?
Fake. That's why. Those are fakers. Russians are fakers. Everyone knows it. Let it go, Russia.
That's really the message to take away from today's show.
Just let it go.
Russians are fakers. That's the message we've all learned here today. Hey, breaking news this morning. Legendary actor, comedian, genius Chris Kattan was arrested early this morning in Encino. On suspicion of driving under the influence. Let me tell you how strong a suspicion they have.
Okay.
A woman dialed 911 just before 2 a.m. this morning, saying a Mercedes-Benz driven by Kattan was weaving all over the road and driving at a slow rate of speed. There's some suspicion right there.
Okay.
Even more suspicion happened after Chris Kattan collided into a Caltrans vehicle that was working construction on the westbound 101 freeway.
Oh, my God.
So dangerous to do that Caltrans work.
He approached the road closure, crossed a pattern of cones, and then struck the Caltrans vehicle from behind.
Wow.
Come on now. With
Did
the
he
suspicion.
Then leap out of the car and go, I'm Mango.
Did he jump out of the car and sing Get Lucky?
No, because that's fake. Chris Kattan's a faker. Yeah, he was, no one was hurt, luckily.
Wow.
He was arrested and booked into the Van Nuys jail this morning. So, another reason we need the Kevin Ryder celebrity party bus, because we do not need our stars driving on the freeway intoxicated. Plowed to a Caltrans vehicle.
Yeah.
How do you miss a Caltrans vehicle? They got 19,000 lights going on them, things blinking and whistles, and there's pinwheels, and I think there's a popcorn machine, and they got bingo numbers popping out of another thing. Come on. Craziness. All right, it is Monday. We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie coming in at number one with $69 million.
How about a little 69?
Monuments Men. Number two, $22.7 million in its debut. Ride Along, Frozen, and That Awkward Moment was the top five. Lone Survivor came in at number six. Then Vampire Academy. One's a vampire. The other's the vampire bodyguard. They fight crime in Vampire Academy. They got one vampire makes crazy noises with his mouth. It's great. Vampire Academy, right? I can't wait for Vampire Academy 2 and 3. Nut Job, Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, and Labor Day rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sorry, sports fans. We are not going to get to see the boxing match we wanted to see. George Zimmerman versus DMX.
Wasn't that just Friday, weren't they?
Just announced last week that Zimmerman was getting the celebrity boxing business. He was going to get into the ring with DMX, who promised to break every rule in boxing in order to F him up.
I wonder what went wrong.
And then guaranteed he would urinate on his face at one point in the battle. That fight now has been canceled.
Really sad.
Celebrity boxing promoter Damon Feldman has decided to cancel the fight because he says it's just too controversial. Apparently he had a change of heart after receiving a few death threats.
Ah.
Despite the fact...
On whose behalf?
They were
people were angry at what?
At him. He was getting death threats.
For what, Feldman, though?
For putting Zimmerman and DMX in the ring together.
Were people angry who were fans of either Zimmerman or DMX? I'm trying to figure out who the injured party is. Like, why would anybody care that those two beat each other up?
I think it was because they don't want George Zimmerman to get any attention and to make any money off of this fight. And then the other side was saying that... DMX was threatening to do him bodily injury, and how can you allow a thug like this to get into the ring with the guy that's supposed to be boxing? There was a lot of controversy.
Well, I'm disappointed.
Well, why don't you get in the ring with DMX, and then we'll just
I'd rather have DMX beat the crap out of George Zimmerman.
Damon's bummed because he said there was a speculation that he could have made as much as $2 million on the bout as a pay-per-view. There's a lot of interest.
And, wow.
You know, it's not a ton of money when it comes to pay-per-view money, but... not bad for an ex-security cop and a rapper. But sadly, something we'll never get to see. Oh, well. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz is 17 years old today. Emma Roberts turns 23. Elizabeth Banks is 40 years old. Laura Dern and Vince Gilligan, creator of Gilligan's Island, of course, 47 years old today.
He's the creator.
Robert Wagner, celebrated TV star. He is 84. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on?
I saved the best for last, but because it's Monday, first, let's get through the top 10 movies at the box office. The Lego Movie, $69 million in its debut, made it number one this weekend amongst moviegoers. Then Monuments Men, in its debut, $22.7 million. Ride Along, Frozen, and That Awkward Moment with the top five movies at the box office. Lone Survivor came in at number six. Then Vampire Academy in its debut with $4 million. The Nut Job, Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, and Labor Day came in at your top 10. Here's the greatest news story in the entertainment industry has to offer.
Yes.
Today, maybe any day.
Wow.
Over there on KTLA... that morning show that they do?
Yep.
Very entertaining show.
That's the one that Allie
McKay.
Steve Edwards is on?
Allie McKay, our buddy.
Is that
Allie
Steve
McKay,
or is that? No, he's Channel 11.
He's Channel 11.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Allie McKay, got it.
I love Steve Edwards, too, by the way, over in that show he does in the morning. Good Morning, L.A.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That show, I think, is very entertaining. The Channel 5, Allie McKay is our buddy over there. She does a great job. Some other members of that team I've had some problems with in the past.
Was that right?
None more so than Sam Rubin.
Oh, yeah, he's the worst.
Fatuous blowhard of an entertainment reporter they have over there. He's just a big doughy pinhead.
Yes.
And he's just such a pompous douche. And he used to have a radio show. Remember he had his radio show?
Oh, yeah.
Worst radio show ever, right?
Yeah.
He would just list things all day. He's like, hey, you know, Malibu, I like cheese. Do you like cheese? Yes, I do, Sam. Well, let's open up the phone line, see what kind of cheese people like. And then people would just fill up the phone line. Gouda. All right, thanks. Brie. It was just a list. Every day it was just a list of things.
Not an exaggeration, either.
I'm not kidding you. They would list things that they liked. It was a nightmare.
Jimmy Kimmel and I used to crank call them all the time. Just get on and mess with them.
So he's off that show. He wasn't good enough for radio. I'll tell you about this guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't good enough to be on radio. But he's back on television on Channel 5, and he's the entertainment reporter there. So this morning, this is on TMZ.com. Thanks to everybody who gave me the heads up. They just posted on TMZ.com. You can watch the video yourself. Samuel L. Jackson is doing a remote interview via video conference satellite for RoboCop that's coming out.
Okay.
And Sam is in that, and it looks to be a great film. He looks to be real good in it. Sam Rubin is asking him not only about RoboCop, doesn't even get to RoboCop, but congratulates him on his Super Bowl commercial. Here's the thing. Samuel L. Jackson was not in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, I was trying to...
However, Lawrence Fishburne reprised his role as Neo.
That's right.
Not Neo. Who is he? It was Morpheus, right? From the Matrix films. And he does the red key, blue key thing for that car commercial.
Right.
Samuel L. Jackson figures out what he's getting. It puts it together and proceeds to laugh. So here is the entirety of the nightmare that was wonderfully painful for Sam Rubin this morning over on KTLA.
You were working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial. Did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I admit, my mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter. I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. I know that. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
You're exactly right.
All black and famous.
You are guilty. I am guilty.
I am
guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
You're the entertainment reporter for this station.
Flawed.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne.
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about...
That must be a very short line for your job.
I'll say no, it probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Really? I apologize.
I'm the other guy. But, I'm the other guy. The I'm, other one. What's in your wallet?
Right. That's it. Exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
What's in your wallet, black guy?
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You only hear his voice, though, so you probably won't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne.
You're 100% right. To RoboCop.
There's a heavyweight black guy that's like putting cash down in the seats in a baseball stadium, but he's also the black guy that turns off the house, the water, and the lights when his kid tells him the house is cool. I'm not that guy either.
Do you know to do a list of all the people that you're not?
And I've actually never done a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I know that's surprising.
Right.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I wish that had already happened to him a few times.
That was...
It sounds like people on Twitter were making the same mistake, according to what Jackson said at the front there.
Well, you expect Twitter to be dumb.
Right.
Right?
They're not professionals.
If you're going to be interviewed on a professional radio station, you thought they would at least have their facts straight. And maybe the advice is, don't stretch outside your comfort zone. Don't start pulling in Super Bowl commercials when you're there to talk about RoboCop. Maybe just, you know he's in RoboCop. You know that much.
Right.
Maybe start off with questions about RoboCop so you don't get put on blast on television for 3 minutes.
I'm no fan of Sam Rubin, but we've all made similar mistakes where we've confused people.
I'm just happy that wasn't me.
We've confused people who weren't in a movie. I did on that James Bond red carpet that one time. Remember? You get confused in the moment. It does happen. At least I applaud Sam for not saying, yeah, but you all look alike. I mean, he did own it and apologize right up front when the mistake was pointed out.
But there's one thing that's to confuse two guys who played James Bond, who had that in common, than just two random black guys who just happened to be both in commercials.
Right.
That's a much more tenuous connection than two guys who happened to play James Bond. That would be pretty similar.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't his best
it
moment.
It wasn't good.
It was spectacular. You kidding me? I haven't enjoyed anything that much since the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
I love that Samuel L. Jackson is that pissed, too.
You can tell he wasn't pissed, but he was not also going to let it go.
He was just going to have some fun.
He was going to just rake him over the coals, and deservedly so. Wildly entertaining moment on KTLA this morning, as I mentioned.
Malibu, do all black guys look alike? Let's make some calls.
Malibu, I think a lot of black people look alike. What do you think? I do too, Sam. All right, let's go to the calls.
Who else looks like Lawrence Fishburne and Samuel L. Jackson?
Wow. That was wildly entertaining.
That was sweet.
And again, TMZ.com's got the video. You can watch it over there. But I got nothing else. I'm going to go try to go beyond that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chloe Grace Moretz is 17 years old today. Emma Roberts turns 23. Elizabeth Banks is 40 years old today. Laura Dern is 47. Vince Gilligan. It came to my attention. I was corrected last hour. He did not apparently create Gilligan's Island, the TV series.
Really? I thought that too.
Breaking Bad, apparently, was the series that he created, which is a dumb name if your name's Gilligan.
Boy, that's pretty disappointing when he could have been the Gilligan's Island guy.
I'm saying. There was a marathon this weekend, by the way, on TV Land.
Gilligan's Island?
Oh, did I mainline some Gilligan's Island?
I saw some of that, Ralph.
What's happening?
I saw the one where the professor casually dropped that he studied and was actually an expert in hieroglyphics.
Yes, that was awesome. I was the one where the butterfly collector comes to get the pussycat swallowtail. And he won't leave the island until he catches it. And everyone's trying to get him to catch the butterfly so he can shoot off the flare gun and get the boat back to the island.
This show sounds so stupid.
So they try to get him drunk. They try to get him drunk so that he'll shoot the flare gun off. And they all pass out from drinking. And he catches the butterfly and leaves without them because they've all passed out from drinking.
They got so close so many times to getting off that island.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
It's probably Gilligan's fault.
Probably. Robert Wagner, the TV actor, is 84 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Today we took a look at the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. Tomorrow it is The Bachelor.
Yeah!
The Bachelor Report.
Now we're talking.
Wow. Which is worse, Kevin? Can you even decide between those two?
They're a tie. They're a
Bachelor.
They're a tie. They're a dead heat right there. Also, Barkhad Abdi. I am the captain now. From Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
It's a good impression,
and
right?
From India, apparently, too.
It's not a good impression.
I'm the captain.
And what's up with Olympic curling? Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin.